You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I like to be known as the Hot Wheels officiant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most likely, yeah. I mean, at least currently out of the two of us.
Yeah.
I would say that, like, back, you know, when we were getting our proper Hot Wheels education,
right,
we probably would have been considered, like, you know, colleagues for, like, peer-reviewed journals for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
We could have checked each other's work. You have certainly, you've committed to the field of academia per Hot Wheels, probably a bit more significantly into adulthood.
Well, I mean, you know, there was my famous sixth grade project, the history of Hot Wheels.
I know, which we should probably, I am fairly certain is somewhere.
Dude, it exists somewhere for sure. I think it might even be in the office somewhere. We should absolutely. If it is, we should put it on the Patreon.
We should, because it's pure gold, which you can check out at patreon.com.
And by pure gold, it did win first place.
Nice! So, I know.
At like, in you know, the whole sixth grade, so.
Okay, can we pause right there? Because I know we have a whole conversation about Hot Wheels to be had, but I was just thinking about this because of like science fair related things.
Yeah.
And it's like in a similar capacity where I always feel like growing up, there was a, like, whether it was like selling, you know, like fundraising, like Girl Scout cookie type things, or you know, like any of the in-class fundraisers or science fair projects or anything like this where someone's family had like a unique advantage or like access to something special.
Yeah.
And it was always sort of like, yeah, nobody can really touch them because their dad owns like a massive company and the entire everybody in the company will buy it like at least one box. And like, that's guaranteed like 300 boxes. And like, we're over here, like, you know, knocking doors down, trying to get like 13 sold.
I can imagine a situation where it's like, yeah, your dad like runs the company. He's got 30 employees and he's like, hey, my daughter Sandy is selling Girl Scouts. I'm just going to pass this around. If you want some, mark it down.
Exactly.
You know, yes, and everyone puts down like five boxes and then comes back and it's like, Sandy sold 1,000 boxes. And it's like, sure she did.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
how many doors was she knocking on?
Right. No. It was always one of those things. But I do remember as a kid, it was always one of those where like, dad, can you bring my fundraiser to work and see if any of your coworkers want to buy anything? And I feel like it was maybe one of those where it was like, yeah.
I think
I'll see if I can do it. I'll pass it around.
What, did you ask dad to do that?
I think, not every time for sure, but I think a couple of times. But like, I mean, it becomes apparent, you know, as an adult, how things like this do circulate and how like a lot of people can end up getting hit up, you know, for multiple different things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be like a little bit cautious of like how many people are like, you know, pinging or whatever. But did you never do that?
It never occurred to me to ask our parents to utilize their, you know, coworkers to get an edge in a fundraising competition.
Yeah. Well, you know, they would always get me because like, you know, they would usually come in at the beginning of the fundraiser, which the fundraiser always just sold like pure crap for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it's always like wrapping paper or something.
Yeah. Which I mean, you know, to be fair, like I will buy wrapping paper if somebody comes by now.
It's one of those things like people need wrapping paper.
Right. Yeah. And probably the quality disparity is not super great, but then like, you know, I feel like all of the other little like things that they sell in the fundraisers are usually not very like high high quality. It doesn't seem. But I feel like they would, the people who were putting on the fundraiser would always like show up for like a band, like a, what is it called? Where everybody got to like leave class and go to the gymnasium. They would like put on like a thing,
yeah,
you know, like a display and be like, all right, if you sell 30 units, then you get a ticket to Fun Day. And if you sell 50, you get two tickets and you can use one ticket to do the Velcro wall.
Right.
And if you sell 100 tickets, you get to enter the cash booth. And you know, like,
right,
a, you know, like one of those like phone booths with like dollar bills and they would like put a leaf blower on it.
Ben,
and
of course I'm familiar with this. Lest you forget, I set a high score in one of these things at our local Chuck E. Cheese.
I did realize as I was talking that I was explaining the game to the champ.
To the champ, Ben.
To the goat.
Exactly.
I figured I was intentionally giving some additional context.
Right, for the listener, for the little kernels.
But I mean, I think these... It probably is the type of thing where if I were to ever go into like a sales force somewhere and they were like, you know, you can get a KitchenAid mixer if you're employee of the month, it'd be like, it is on.
Right.
Like, I will sell everything.
I'm presently in the running for some KitchenAid products myself.
Are you really?
Via March Madness.
Oh.
Yeah. So Beth, my wife, she follows this Instagram. I think she's mostly an Instagrammer called Naptime Kitchen.
Okay.
And
I've heard this one come up before. Yeah.
Naptime Kitchen's son is like old enough to where he's like suddenly really into March Madness, which is to say he's like maybe like 7 or something.
Okay, sure.
You know, but he's like all about it. He's apparently filled out like 6 brackets or something. And so like, he's so into it that Naptime Kitchen decided to just host their own little bracket tournament thing. And so Beth was like, you should enter because, you know, the top 3 places get these like cool KitchenAid products. And I was like, oh, all right, sure, whatever. I'll do it. I haven't consumed any college basketball this year, but
not one lick.
That probably gives me about as good odds as just about anybody else. So.
True. Yeah.
So that is the only bracket I filled out this year for March Madness.
But you're doing well.
I was in like the top two. I was in the top 200 at one point.
Okay.
But the really bad news I was sort of dead out of the gate because I chose Kentucky to win and they ended up being eliminated in the first round.
Oh no.
So yeah, that was bad news. It's a 3 seed going down in the first round. Ugh. Like so bad.
Yeah.
I will say though, I did predict JMU to pull an upset in the first round, which they did against Wisconsin. That was a fun game. But then last night, so what they got as a reward for making it past the first round was to play Duke in the second round.
Oh boy.
And if you know nothing about college basketball, you probably still know that Duke and UNC are like historically just the teams. And so they got destroyed. I mean, we turned it on and it was like, it was just past halftime. And it was like 27-52. And it was like, oh no. But we watched the rest of the game and it was still a lot of fun. It's just cool that they made it that far.
So. No, of course. Yeah. I remember when I was in college, Radford once made it to the tournament and it was sort of like, oh my gosh, they're going to be there. And then they played UNC in the first round. Got absolutely annihilated. So good times. Good times.
Yeah. But that's all good. So
go Highlanders.
Right. Go Highlanders.
I was like, what was my college mascot's name? Highlanders. I knew that. Our team colors are tartan.
Great. So unique.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Easy to dress for.
Exactly.
Just everyone has a couple of tartan things lying around.
Right. Kilts.
Right.
It's great.
Exactly. Man, how did we get here? Bracket.
Cause you're doing the Naptime Kitchen bracket. Yeah,
right.
Yes. And you have been doing well, possibly winning some KitchenAid products.
Maybe. Oh, the fundraiser, that was a possible thing.
Okay.
You said if there was a blender or a mixer,
you'd
be like, I'm in.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And so I think that's like what would happen is like, I would go and they would give us these like speeches and like, you know, try to encourage you to go and like, you know, be little like door salesmen and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, I'm doing it. I remember, you know, you would go and it's like, honestly, it probably is one of those things that was like a good learning experience, but like it also feels like maybe I don't even know why it feels like maybe something that would be less likely to happen nowadays.
No, it happens.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what I would remember is I would go door to door, I would knock, and then they would be like, yeah, come on inside. And so you would go and you would like sit, you know, like with your hands folded in their kitchen while they like, you know, leafed through page after page of the magazine and like, oh, look at that. That's kind of cool. Oh, it's a candle warmer in the shape of an owl. Oh,
yeah.
You know, like, and you know, so you'd be in the house with the person for like 15 minutes even. And then finally they, you know, they would like fill it out and they would, you know, buy like one item or whatever and give you a check for it. And you'd be like, all right, on to the next. But like, you know, so when you figure you're like getting home from school and having like X amount of time to go and do this, it's like, you know, if each person's house you enter into takes 20 minutes, it's like, and they buy one item, it's like over the course of the hour, you might sell three. And
right.
Realistically, like, you know, when they're telling you all these prizes, they're like, you know, sell 100. And I'm like, sell 100.
I know.
How?
I know.
But in you know, without fail, there was always like that small handful of kids who would come in and like they would have sold like 500 units or something. And you're just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is almost the issue is that you're right. Like the intended goal. Well, the intended goal is that they need money and that's what they want. But like the otherwise, like I think intended like experience for you, the child, is like going and interacting with people and maybe meeting your neighbors and like, you know, having to like do something by yourself where you're selling something.
Yeah. Like, yeah. A little bit of independence.
Yeah. Like a little bit of independence on that front. And I feel like that's the intended goal. And so like you can go out there and it's like, it might be inspiring to kids like you who go out and do it and you like actually, you know, hit the pavement and go door to door and you come back and like after all your work, maybe you sold like 40 things and it's like, that was a lot of work and you did that. The problem is that the real lesson you learn is that the kid whose dad brought it to work destroyed you.
Oh,
and
yes.
They didn't do any work.
Yes, nothing
and
whatsoever. Like,
and
right.
That's the lesson you almost walk away with.
Yes, I know.
But like, yeah, so in my neighborhood, there are, we will get, you know, high schoolers going door to door selling their booster cards or whatever.
Okay.
All the time. And it's like, you know what? And here's the thing I didn't know as a kid is that if you ask an adult, or at least this is us, like if someone comes to our door and is like making the effort to go door to door, like we will buy it pretty much no matter what.
Yes, without fail. Know?
And it's like me as a kid thought like, I'm really just gonna have to like, I gotta like memorize the product book. I gotta like sell them on the stuff and tell them about the thing. And like, maybe they'll buy something. And it's like, you know, it's like, if you knock on their door, they're going to buy something because they understand the entire situation and they just want to help you out.
Exactly.
And it's like, it is not about the product at all. It is about helping you. And that was completely lost on me
as a child. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the thing too. Like, I think that like just this past week we had like the Girl Scout cookie people, you know, come by our front door, and me and Allie were in the middle of like 100 things in our house. Like everything was just like pure chaos. Like Addie was screaming about something and the dogs were barking because like, you know, they came up and knocked on the door, which nowadays almost nobody ever knocks on our door because like, you know, anything that's ever dropped off. It's like, I feel like the pandemic sort of like normalized the idea of like the delivery people just like leaving the pizza like on your front stoop or on your front door instead of like knocking and like physically handing it to you.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me because like my dogs go nuts every single time. But so I remember it was like, you know, then I was like, I don't even know if we have cash. Do we have cash? Like, who has cash?
That is often the problem. I'm like, Beth, do you have any cash? Huh? So let me go. And then I'm like out there, I'm like, dig, I come back like 5 minutes later. It's like this, you know, they're just out there like, it was a fun time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we were buying our cookies though. I really like the Samoas, you know,
yes.
And I mean, I personally think they're the best, or the Caramel Delights. I guess this is like one of those things where I feel like people have like discovered that they have different names based on like which factory they come from.
I think that is the case. And people love to know that fact and tell you about it.
Well, so I wanted to acknowledge that I knew the fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, but hopefully I wasn't parading my knowledge of the fact.
I think people will insist that they taste differently. And if they do, then I don't know. Either way, I think those are the best, the Caramel Delights and or Samoas.
Yes, yeah. So it was really funny though, because like my mind was like scattered in like 100 different places. Me and Allie are like standing out there. They've got this like adorable wagon and you know, like their mom's with them and you know, they're like, all right, so like what would you guys like to do? And I was like, well, let's definitely get like a box of the Samoas. And then Allie's like, okay, like I'll do like a Thin Mints. And then I thought like Allie was like, I thought I heard her say something else. And then she was like, or maybe we'll just do like another Samoa. And I was like, all right, let's get like one more. And they're like, all right, what do you want to do in the last one? I was like, the Samoa will be fine. Like, I'll do another one of those. And they're like, three Samoas. Okay. And it was like one of those things where I was like in my head, I thought I was picking one. Allie was picking one. And then I thought Allie said another one. And then I was like, you know what? Let's just close off with another one. Cause I like those. And then I was like, so we like ordered three Samoas, but we ordered them each individually. So it'd be like going to like the McDonald's like counter and you know, ordering like ice cream or something. Like, all right, so we're gonna do we'll do one medium vanilla ice cream cone, and then let's see, let's add on one vanilla medium ice cream cone, and then We'll do maybe one vanilla medium ice cream cone.
I'll take three of vanillas, please.
Yes, yeah. It felt so awkward. Yeah. Like the mom, I feel like, was looking at me like, "Are you an idiot?" Like, I was like, "Yes, right now I am." Of course, sorry. Yeah. Like, I am not focused. I was so distracted. Anyway, I mean, like, then, like, you know, Allie, like, we had like so many ones because we very rarely carry cash, and so like whenever we have change, we always take the cash, like the leftover, and we just have like a coffee mug in like our cabinet. Like we never use it for coffee. It just holds like our spare like dollar bills that we have. And so like, that was the other thing. And so Allie hands me like half of our cash for some unknown reason, which is like, you know, we had like $18 or something like that. So like I'm sitting there trying to count like my like 1 5 and then like, you know, 13 ones.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't know. The whole thing, I was like, this is painful.
This is so clumsy.
This is so hard to watch unfold. These people are probably going to like tell everyone about it and be like, this one guy, the guy in the corner, it's hysterical.
Yeah, nope. Mm-hmm. Boy, I listened to this, like just a bit of comedy this weekend that made me think about you so much.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah.
It was fantastic. I'll share it with you later.
Okay.
But the gist of the bit was they have like generalized anxiety disorder or something like that.
Yeah.
They were just like,
been there.
Yeah, been there. And the guy is like, what it basically means is that part of my brain is just the world's worst detective. So like, it'll look at all the evidence and come to just the worst conclusions imaginable.
Yes.
It'll be like, well, I came to that party. People were excited to see me. They all were like, yo, Ben, what's up? And then like we had a good time and, you know, people texted me afterwards and said it was great. Sometimes I'll feel really down and there's like a really good support system. My brain's looking at all this information. So probably everyone hates me.
You know? were you watching a comedy bit or just like Psychology Today?
It was a comedy bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Every single time. We had friends over the weekend and it was like one of those things where I was like they left and I was like, man, that went so great. You know, I was like, I'm just glad, you know, like I was, it was so good to spend time with them. Like, I really enjoyed that. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like, so they probably never want to see me again.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy because it's like, it's not like, I can even look at the evidence and be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense at all. I've been friends with these people for such a long time.
Right.
Why would last night have been the one that was like, that was it. That was the last straw. It's like, what'd you guys do? We built a jigsaw puzzle. It's like, what?
Right.
Why? Yeah. I don't know. Was that a bad idea? Were they hating it the whole time? Yeah. So anyway,
unless you stabbed one of them, you're probably good.
Yeah, no, which I didn't.
Oh, good. Yeah.
For clarity.
Okay,
for
cool.
Clarity. Yeah.
I think you're good.
There were no stabbings the whole evening, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, none at all. So we made it through, which was good.
Yeah,
go
that's
team.
Great.
Go
fantastic.
Team. Anyway, so yeah, but that nail on the head description otherwise, that was me. I flicked the chair.
Okay.
You probably don't want to do this podcast with me anymore. I'm assuming.
It just sounded like the sound it made was that like a gunshot far away outside?
No.
It was just
me flicking my chair.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I did it. Anyway. So back to Hot Wheels because we started.
That's
there.
Where we started with my award-winning sixth grade Hot Wheels. So recently Netflix released, I think in the past week or so, this new show, which is just like, I don't know. I don't even know the name of it. I'm just like Hot Wheels Let's Race, I think.
Oh, I don't know why they didn't go with Hot Wheels Leading the Way.
So there is a song that plays, it's the title song, and then it's also like the hype song, because at some point in every episode, there's six characters, and there's this very fun part of every episode where they have these like virtual steering wheel things, and they'll whip them out, and they'll like, this giant catalog of like Hot Wheels cars, and they'll be like, I'm going to use the shark bite or whatever, and their car materialized. It's like, it's so fun that they give such personality. It's like, there's like, you know, maybe 30 cars they could choose, but like you almost immediately get used to like, oh yeah, I've seen that one before. I've seen that one before. I've seen that one before. And it like gives you like names for all the cars and stuff.
I love that because we did that as kids.
I know. It's like, it was like whoever like put this together is the most relatable thing. And like my kids, I mean, they are already like, they're doing it. They're doing the same thing.
Okay.
And like, but I'll get to that. So there's the song that plays though is it's incredibly catchy. It is like such like a hype song. Like even like when I came, my best is like, this song is so fun. It's like, watch it, just watch it. And it's like, you know, they're all doing their thing. They're getting the car and like, it's the rock music is pumping and they jump in and all the flames shoot up and they go flying off. It's like, this is really well done, Hot Wheels. I get what you, like, yes, this is exactly what it feels like to be a kid playing with Hot Wheels. But I kept thinking like, boy, it just sounds exactly like the Big Hero 6 song. Like whoever did this was like, you know that Immortal song in Big Hero 6? I want every episode to feel like that training montage.
We can be immortal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is by Fall Out Boy.
Is it by Fall Out Boy? Okay.
Yeah. Actually, a hilarious fact. We did a Disney song March Madness bracket like for SCB.
Yes.
And I remember we went through the entire office and had everyone to get the seating hopefully somewhat correct. We had everyone like vote on them in office and that ended up as a one seed, which just like immediately lost because like to the greater public, it probably doesn't even register as a Disney song.
Right. It's like, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, one seed.
Yeah. This?
Right.
Yeah. So that was, I always think about that. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Song's amazing. Whatever. It's also a Beat Saber song, which is super fun. But I kept thinking like every time I watch the show, I'm like, it's crazy how much it sounds like it. And then we were at the gym this morning and our trainer, Gabriel, his son was there and he was playing with Hot Wheels. And I was like, oh man, you guys watching the Hot Wheels show? And he's like, yes.
And he's obviously.
And I was like, yeah, that song is so catchy. And he's like, yeah, it's by Fall Out Boy. And I was like, no way.
Oh my gosh.
It literally is the same band.
That's amazing. It's like, so, it has the same vibe because it's the same people.
Very on purpose. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, there's that. So that's also my Wick of the Peak. If you need something for your kids to watch, check out the new Hot Wheels show. But so my kids have been now just into Hot Wheels this past week, which has been super fun.
Yeah.
Because, my kids inherited just all of our Hot Wheels from childhood, which is a ton. And we have, weirdly, at one point in like Beth's teaching career, there was, I don't know what for, but she got like several giant boxes worth of just tracks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not
like,
sure.
Like Hot Wheels tracks.
Like Hot Wheels tracks, like as like a something to use in teaching or whatever.
Okay.
But like she had them and didn't use them. And then when she was leaving, like we just inherited them.
Right.
So we have tons of track, orange track.
Right.
You know, and we have tons of cars. And for a while, Luke was, you know, into it and stuff, but they've never really like understood. They've never like tried to race them with any purpose. They'll like put them on the tracks and they'll watch them go through the loops and stuff. But so this past weekend, I was like, oh, Luke was asking me like, I came downstairs. I managed to sleep until like 8 one day this weekend.
What?
Couldn't believe it.
Amazing. Well done. Round of applause.
But I came downstairs and they're watching the show and they had gone downstairs and brought up the entire bucket of Hot Wheels and like lined them up. So they were covering like every available inch on the couch and ottoman and table. It was just like this huge display of Hot Wheels, which was kind of cool because the three of them just did it by themselves.
That's amazing.
I know.
Yep.
And so then we were going through them and he's like, Daddy, just which one is the fastest one? And it's like, I actually know which one is the fastest one because me and your uncles would spend full weekends organizing, I don't know, like 400 car brackets.
Yes.
And like whittling it down. I could tell you the fastest 5 cars here, Luke, you know?
Without fail. Yeah.
Yeah. Because not only do we know what the fastest ones were, we would figure out the fastest ones and then we would just have another tournament and just like, see, maybe they'll lose this time as if something changed with the cars, but they never did.
They never did. But like half the time we would like use like dad's video camera so that we could like, if we needed like a slow-mo instant replay,
exactly,
we could like, you know, go back and like review the tape.
Huge production.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we took it very seriously. No other way to do it.
Yeah. So I was like,
this is back of the couch racing.
No, it was back of the couch racing. Exactly. We had, I mean, so much fun. And then anytime you went to the store and you got like a new one, it was like, well, now we got to have a whole new tournament. See if one of these new cars
has cracked the code. Always just challenged the other winner.
Right.
And just been like, okay, like let's see what happens. But instead, no. It's like let's bust out, you know, all 64.
Yeah,
you know, we'll do it top to bottom.
Right, we'll do it.
Be thorough.
Know. We'll put both cars on each track. You know,
right.
Make sure we give them an even run on track one, track two.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. I forgot we did that.
I know. I think about like we were so dedicated to knowing this information.
If anybody had told us that like what we were doing on some level was like a little bit of science, it would have been extremely like useful information from just like, you know, was like, oh, look at you guys. Yeah. Like ensuring that there's like, you know, balance to the races, mm-hmm. and making sure like, you know, the coefficient of friction on one track or the drop or, you know,
right?
Something.
Exactly.
Could have been playing a factor.
Could have been doing it. Yeah. The starting was a tricky part. But so anyway, I still remember that whenever we eventually got over them, we had several champions throughout the years, and every now and then one would get dethroned. But the car that stood the test of time was known as the Lakester.
The Lakester.
Do you remember it?
I do. Yeah. It's like a red car. Yeah. Like with like nothing covering the wheels, right?
Nothing is covering the wheels. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a red car. The lid like kind of flipped over. So
yeah. Yep. Okay.
The top lid part, it's somewhere in the house. I don't know where.
So it like broke off.
It like broke off a little bit. Yeah. So it, in its present state. So I told Luke, I was like, it's this one. The Lakester. This is the fastest car.
Right.
And I was like, do you want to go see? Should we go race them? Like, should we go race this against every car and find out like, you know, are any of the new cars faster? Because you guys have gotten a lot of new cars. And he was just like, oh, yes. And then he wanted to do exactly what you just said. Like, just go put every single car one at a time against the Lakester to see if anything can beat it.
And
I was like, there's a faster way to do this. So, and then like, I really had to just like, just let me, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up like 8 races, and then those winners will race each other. And then those winners will race each other. And then we'll have a champion.
Right.
And so the Lakester proceeded to undoubtedly win, like, I don't know, 5 brackets in a row.
Oh my gosh.
No problem.
So did the fact that it's missing like the lid,
that's slowing it down, Ben. It's still winning because that would just add weight, you know?
That's so unbelievable. I mean, this was like, you know, we would grow up doing like Pinewood Derby races.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is another one of those areas where like, you know, you had a friend whose dad had a workshop. And so like the customary act at the beginning of every Boy Scout season or whatever was to go over and use his bandsaw to like draw your design on top of the vehicle and then like cut it out with the bandsaw or whatever.
Sand it for 5 days.
If you sand it for 5 days,
what it felt like.
Spray paint it like 39 times and you know, all the rest.
Put some decals on.
Right. Yeah. It was like a thing, you know, we had like a lot of fun with it and stuff, but that was like another category where you would get to like the Pinewood Derby day and there were like certain kids who would show up and it was like, whoa, that thing is like, that looks like the Batmobile, you know, or something like that. It's like, how did you do that?
I was thinking about that probably because we were racing Hot Wheels. I was thinking about that. Someone I remember came in with like a hot dog car. I mean, it looked like a hot dog.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Like and they carved it out of wood. And I'm like, who did this? How? Did you? No, obviously not the child.
Well, what's so fascinating to me though is that like even for like a parent who has the ability to do that, it seems like those would be the parents that would be the most like, no, it's important to learn how to do these types of things. So you should try to carve a hot dog and we'll go with whatever it looks like. And if you want to try again, like we'll get you another piece of wood and we'll try it again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, did the kid do that?
Yeah.
Like possibly? I have no idea. But like this was always one of those factors like growing up where I was just like, I suppose to be fair, probably everybody has an unfair advantage of some kind.
Uh-huh.
Like this is the thing I always say. It's like everybody has a guy, you know, it's like, oh man, we got a guy, you know, and it's like, and not everybody's guy does the same thing. Like maybe your guy does like, you know, landscaping or something. So it's like, whenever it comes to like a landscaping project, it's like, no, we got a guy. It's all good. Mm-hmm. You know, and then other people have like a guy for like, you know, car repair or, you know, chicken. I don't know. Raising
coops?
Chicken coops. Yeah.
Chicken
coops.
Racing?
Chicken racing.
Is that a thing?
No, I said raising, but I like racing better because it's like, it's like you want
to
get
chicken. Come over, we're doing chicken racing.
We're doing chicken racing all afternoon. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That'd be so funny. It'd be like, yeah, people used to do these like chicken fights. They were super unethical and terrible. And, you know, now we just race them and it's fine. It's a blast.
They're getting tons of exercise. Everybody's outside.
They're so fast. You know?
Turns out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good times. Or you get into turtle racing. That seems like a whole hooting and hollering good time as well. Yeah. I don't actually know. I've never raced a turtle before.
I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm like, does chicken racing exist? Is it out there?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like lots of racing exists. So maybe.
Could be.
Either which way, though. I was going for raising, but I was trying to. My brain went to chickens for some reason. I was like, surely if as long as I say chicken, your brain will be able to fill in something. And it was like, oh no, I can't think of anything. Chicken.
He's got a chicken guy.
I got a chicken guy. Yeah, I got a chicken guy. But everybody's got a guy for something, you know, and not everybody's guy is the same guy, but like, you know, they're all that like one weird little like unfair advantage that you have. But that's also the case with like growing up. It's like everybody like, you know, the parents, the situation, the like, you know, city living, the farmland living, like there is something you are exposed to that is going to make you inordinately good at something else growing up,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's sort of like, okay. I didn't even realize that something I thought was just an everyday procedure was actually a lifelong skill. Cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. What? So there's that.
There's that.
Anyway, but so yeah, you're racing Hot Wheels. The Lakester. The champion from when we were kids. Probably the same physical car.
Oh, the same physical car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It continues to be the champ.
Continues to be the champ. Yeah. Not dethroned yet.
Wow.
I know.
Wow,
I was a little surprised because we've gotten a bunch of new ones.
Right.
Yeah. But now Luke is carrying around. Of course, he claimed immediate ownership. Like, this one's mine. The Lakester.
I think you guys are coming over this weekend for Easter, so if he brings it with him, I'm like, hey, you have my car. Oh, no. My Lakester.
Dude, I remember getting the Lakester, as which I think it was mine.
Okay, yeah, fine, but, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure it was.
Yeah.
Classic oldest child position, whatever.
I remember being so thrilled to get it. I remember when we got it, because we were actually at our grandparents in New York, and we brought the Hot Wheels set up with us, because okay. We were so into it. And we went to the store, and Dad got us Hot Wheels. And forever, you had had the fastest car.
Was it White Lightning?
It was. But you had had it twice over, because you had this like blue and green one that was called, I don't know what it's really called, but we called it Dragon.
Why would you not call it Dragon?
I don't know why you wouldn't either.
I mean, you look at it, it's amazing. Dragon.
Yeah. That was the fastest one. And then, yeah, you had the White Lightning, and that was the fastest. And then we got the Lakester, and it somehow beat White Lightning. And it was like, oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah.
The pride I felt in my little diecast car.
Yeah, it's like all you did was have the opportunity of being the one to own it, you know?
Oh,
but,
yes.
But it's
yes.
Also like, it's like status.
Because you know what the other thing was, Tyler had also picked the Lakester car that day. So me and him both got one, and mine was faster.
Oh, no.
I know.
Poor Ty.
Poor Tyler. So, yeah. But now I'm like, Luke, he's like, so he'll just carry it around the house and play with it everywhere. And those wheels are so exposed. I'm like, you're going to bend the axles, man. Like,
I know.
The Lakester's days are numbered.
It's going to be.
We're going to have to crowd a new champion.
It's like going to be like the Doc Hudson of like the household Hot Wheels. Like,
yeah.
If you were to merge like the Cars universe with the Toy Story universe. I wonder if anybody's ever thought about combining Pixar movies into like one similar timeline, giant story.
Ooh, that's a fantastic idea.
I know. Yeah. Seems to be a good one. No, but like, you know, I feel like the Lakester would be the one that's sort of like the retired old champ.
Yeah.
That's sort of like,
yeah.
It's like, no, back in my day,
I know.
Won all the races.
Well, I keep thinking about that. Cause like, to me, it would almost be great is like, I almost want there to be a different car that like becomes the new champ.
Right.
As it were. That's like the next gen. Because I remember when we were kids, Dad would always tell us that he had his own collection of Hot Wheels cars, and none of them could ever beat the Sugar Caddy.
That was the real old one.
The real OG,
which
the
is
red lines.
It's like, yeah. So like that was the thing. Like in the '60s, the Hot Wheels had these like painted red lines on the edge of the wheels, and so
yeah.
That's like if you're ever like at like an estate sale or like a garage sale or something, and somebody has like a case of old like Hot Wheels cars, it's like if they've got the red lines and they look like old, those are
the ones you want.
Those are super valuable.
Yeah, yeah. Get those.
Yeah. So Dad has his in like this like beautiful case
on
display now.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. He did sell some of them, and that's how we bought a canoe.
We did indeed. Yeah. The Hot Wheels though, it's kind of unbelievable because they were so deeply ingrained into our childhood. Like it was even, you know, it wasn't like every day or anything like that, but like with, you know, probably once every couple weeks or so, you would like come downstairs and have like a Hot Wheels car sitting in front of like your cereal bowl.
Yeah.
That was like always such a fun treat.
Yes, it was. That was really fun. And it was like probably so easy too, because they're like a dollar.
Right, right.
You know,
yes. Yeah.
Like what an easy thing to get. It doesn't like break the bank, you know?
Yes. Well, so it was kind of fun yesterday because I thought it was interesting that you brought up Hot Wheels this morning, because I was out yesterday and Alice's mom had offered to like watch Addie for us so we could go like run some errands and stuff, which was amazing. So we were out and we went to like Target to pick up like things for Addie's like Easter basket.
Yeah.
Which is something that like, you know, growing up, it never occurred to me like when mom and dad were doing this particular activity.
Right.
Like when does this happen?
Right.
Like how did you guys like leave? I mean, of course, you know, for a while you just thought the actual Easter bunny was there, which spoilers.
Not.
It's mom and dad. But no, so it was really cool because I was like, oh man, this is so cool. So like, you're like walking through the store trying to be like, what else can we get? We should get a Hot Wheels car. So I think I personally bought Addie the her first ever, well, from me, like Hot Wheels car yesterday, which was, I was like, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I was like, you know, I'm like flicking through them. And then like, and we, the other thing we did, cause growing up there was like the treasure hunts, which were they were like the rare ones, you know? And so it'd be like finding like a holographic or something if you like collect cards. Except, you know, like you might find one every like 40 visits to the store.
Oh
like,
man.
They were, if you were so lucky. Rare.
Yeah.
Like I remember once I was at a store with mom at like, just like Kroger. And you know how like above like the cereal boxes, occasionally they'll have like a row, like on the very top of like toys hanging up there or whatever. They would have like six total Hot Wheels out on display. And I remember one day I was like down the aisle and I like looked up and I couldn't reach it. And so I was just jumping and flicking the cars, trying to knock them off, because I saw that there was a treasure hunt, like three back. And I was like, oh my God. Gosh, like it was like the type of thing where I was like, I know I've just found something so rare. I like asking mom if we can buy this is a foregone conclusion. Like there is no world. Like mom was in on it too.
Oh
like,
yeah.
There was no world where you were like, I just found a treasure hunt. And they're like, no, put it back. It'll be here next time. It's like,
right.
No, it will not.
No, it will not. Yeah.
So I remember finding that one, but I mean, it was such an occasion. But so yesterday I could not like resist. I'm like in the Hot Wheels aisle and I was like, I gotta check them all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, absolutely. I'm like throwing them like, no, nah, we're good. There's none here. There never is, but
there never, I know. Well, so when, I think because of this show, we got like very, you know, we do like a lot of duck themed things.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know. So
ducks go in cups.
Yeah, exactly. So for the Duck in a Cup video, we had like a duck Hot Wheels car.
We did, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I think in the course of making that video or somewhere along the way, it got that one, that in particular one, like got lost or something.
Okay.
And so Luke noticed that it was gone. And then I felt so bad. I was like, oh no, we lost the duck car.
Right.
So then I went online and I found a replacement duck car that wasn't the same. The one we had was green. And I found one that was like shiny and gold. And I was like, well, that's cool.
If anything, it's cooler.
So I just got the shiny duck car and it arrived. And it turned out it was like, this is a treasure hunt. I was like,
was it really?
It was.
Oh, and wow. So,
I mean, we still opened it and we play with it and stuff. But well, it was like one of those things where I was like, I didn't even know I was buying it. And it just showed up. And I was like, oh, no way.
I know.
The golden duck.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh.
Here, kids, go trash it.
I know. I'm having such like split minds, because there's like that part of me that sort of goes into like Toy Story 2 mode, where it's like, okay, some car, like some action figures, total collectibles, should be protected. But then there's also that part of me, it's like toys are meant to be played with. Like they should be enjoyed.
Yeah.
So it's like of two minds.
Yeah. You know? Well, I went through when we were cleaning out our basement a couple of weeks ago, there was a bunch of like Star Wars action figures from our childhood that were just like left in boxes.
Okay.
Clearly young me was like, these are going to be valuable someday.
Right.
What patience I have as a child to not open these.
You did.
You know? And I was like, and I was looking at them and I was like, you know what? It's been like 20 years. Let's look them up. Cause you know, I'm looking at like, this is Phantom Menace, you know, Darth Maul. Like this would be like one of the more sought after ones. Probably.
You would think so. The key villain. Pretty iconic. Right?
Main villain in the movie. And I look it up and it's like $10. And it's like, great.
I know. This is it's so tricky too, because I think we were like in the 90s, we were growing up, like I think this is like what the internet did so quickly to the populace, was like, you know, eBay came about very quickly, which then became like, you know, like a digital platform, basically opening up people to like audiences or you know, customers globally, or you know, nationally at the very least at the time, to where, you know, if you were like a quiet little collector in your corner of wherever you live, it's like there's probably only so many people in your neck of the woods who are after the same items,
right?
You know, so it's kind of like, even if you have one, potentially finding a buyer for it was probably not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah,
you know. But then now all of a sudden, you know, everybody's able to trade everything from everywhere they were in the world, and it all gets like redispersed and whatever. But then also there's the fact that like things were not made in such massive runs, you know. So they're like, it may be the case that like, you know, if you went to your local store and you were able to just buy one as a kid, it was like, I mean, you were buying like something that was already pre-established as reasonably scarce. And you know, like compared to like when we were kids and like every single Walmart in the country had rows and rows and rows of Darth Maul action figures.
Right.
But like we were growing up buying toys at the same time that toys from the past were all of a sudden incredibly valuable.
Right.
And like that, it's so strange, because it's like you're like, oh wow, okay, so if I just hang on to it, then history will repeat later. Itself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this was the biggest what was it? I'm trying to say Beanie Babies was the worst offender.
Oh, this particular cause. Beanie Babies were totally one of those where it was like, oh, these are going to be worth something.
These are going to be worth something. And it's like everyone had the tag protectors and like, don't ruin the tag. That's where all the value is. Like, play with it as much as you want. Get it dirty, but keep the tag.
Keep the tag and say, I know. So it's actually so funny too, because that's the other one is, so I just recently got like my box of Beanie Babies from mom the other day. And I say the other day, it was probably like 9 months ago or something, but Addie had found it. But there was, I remember like the night when we were kids in our childhood home with like our dial-up computer, like the whole family was like crowded around as we were like bidding on like the maple bear from Canada.
The Canada bear.
Which ended up being one of my you know Christmas presents that year or whatever. But I think you know in 1998 we spent like $74
on the maple bear. Yeah.
And so like even that was kind of one where it's like, you know, like you just said, like you childhood action figures, look it up, you know, it's $10 or $5 then worth $10 now. And this is 20 years new in box.
Right.
This was something where it was like, you know, back when in the beginning, this was like $74. So like surely now it's worth something. But so we show Addie the box of, you know, Beanie Babies. And in my mind, I'm sort of like, whichever one you want, play with them, all of them, you know, we'll find them in the yard, whatever. Like they are meant to be enjoyed. That's the point. But sure enough, the main one that she like reached in and picked up right away was the maple bear. And so it's like, it's in her crib every night. And it's like, it has the little tag protector still on it, but like it is just stained and dirty. Yeah. And I'm like, well, there you go. No longer. And this is like one of those things again, you know, where, like, I think even when we started the pop, I had like floated the idea of like, you know, we should just buy like a first edition Charizard. And now it's like, to buy a first edition Charizard would be like hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever. If you want
like the one, the like shadowless base set.
First edition
is like, you know, PSA 10, like, you know, for just not that many of those even exist, but that card is like 40,000, I think.
Okay.
But like, you know, if you have just a first edition Charizard at all, like even that's going to be worth something.
A lot.
Let's see what your maple bear's worth. Bear Beanie Baby.
Oh dear,
I cannot imagine it is worth that. So I'm seeing a lot of the one like the Ronald McDonald ones.
Okay, I remember those. Yep. We had many of those for a little while. That was fun because it was like, it's like, mom, can we go to McDonald's? It's like, we didn't really want McDonald's, we wanted the bears,
right? Let's see. Maple Beanie Baby for sale. It's hard to tell.
It's always hard to tell because I feel like there's always that person on eBay selling it for like, you know, $99,000.
Yeah, there's someone on here that's listening to this like $6,500 and it's like, no, it's not that.
That can't be.
There's no way.
It can't be.
Yeah.
That would be so devastating.
This looks like, it looks tiny. I don't know if this is the right size. This one says Thai Beanie Baby Maple Bear Canada exclusive 1996 with case. So that seems about right.
Yeah.
This says $30. So.
Okay. So maybe this is like one of those things like where we paid a premium for it even 30 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe I'm seeing like $14, $6, $14. A lot of them are like the 18. Yeah. So it looks like if you found the right person, maybe you could get $30 for it.
Okay. So no matter what, especially accounting for inflation, it's gone down in value.
It's gone down. Yeah. It turns out it peaked out of the gate, as it were.
Yeah, that sometimes happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, either way, it's like it's hard to know. It's like what is like the present day thing, object, like whatever's that nobody's thinking of, but like someday it's like, there you go.
I know,
they
right?
They were harder to get than we realized.
Exactly. This is what, so the only thing I'm even like, well, obviously we collect Pokemon cards and stuff, but then I've also got like my little Pluto pin collection going there.
Yeah.
I'm like, which I'm not at all expecting to like get monetary value out of.
No. And for what it's worth, most of the monetary thing to me is just like, it would make me so happy to have just successfully had like the foresight.
Exactly.
Like, it's not like the actual like financial like reward. It's just
like the knowledge that like you read the room correctly. Like, I did. Look, I predicted. I knew. That's the thing. So, but like right now, there's like, if you just like eBay, like Pluto pins or something, it's interesting how like you can tell like what are sort of the commons of the era.
Sure.
It's like, there'll be like, oh yeah. Okay. I've got all those. But it'll be interesting. Like 20 years from now, clearly like it won't be like, oh yeah. Okay. There's the donut. There's the cupcake. There's the this, you know, like
right.
New commons will have emerged. Not that like this is even a particular, you know, I don't think there's tons of people collecting Pluto pins.
No, I'm sure, you know? Sure.
But it's like, it's interesting, like which ones, if you just wanted to go online and buy cheap, are available right now. But it's like the longer it goes, the more they won't be available.
True.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
But that's what I feel like will ultimately make the collection seem really cool. Eventually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think like the more that it stands the test of time, and like, because that's the other thing too, it's like I don't anticipate us like losing our interest in going to Disney anytime in the near future.
Yeah, no, so probably not.
Even that I feel like would be the type of thing like where if like someday, like, you know, Luke or Nick or Nate is bringing their kids to Disney,
right,
in the name of, and they're like, we collect Pluto pins, it's like, we've exactly done it since we were kids, like we have a whole, you know, like this one we got back in, you know, the olden days of 2023.
I know. Yeah,
it's
right,
like,
huh?
Wow. Whoa. That's so old.
Oh, on the pin trading front.
Okay, what happened?
April 7th, cast members are all carrying pins again to do trading with.
Oh, they, that's cool.
They just announced it, and I was like, oh, they're bringing back. So like right now, if you go to Disney World, like some stores will have like a pin board and you can like go trade off the board or whatever. But like once upon a time, the cast members themselves would have like lanyards or little like pin pads on them, and you could just go trade one-to-one with them.
That's cool.
So like they are bringing it back, and we haven't been doing it since that's happened. So I'm like very excited for the next trip where it's just like so many more opportunity points.
I know, especially because I feel like the cast members are people who are like, they're so tuned in to like the Disney, like, you know, everything,
yeah,
you know? So I feel like those would be the people to go and be like, okay, what you got cooking for me?
Yeah. What you, yeah, got? What you got?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they're, I can imagine them being the people who are having like the most fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Next time we go down, that was going to be cool. I saw that show up on the Disney Instagram and I was like, oh, no way.
No way. No way. No way.
What fun.
That's awesome. Okay. Good news. Good, yep, news.
There we go.
How about that? Mm-hmm. All right. So maybe it's all of our discussion about pins. Maybe
we're generating interest on a wide scale. For Disney pins.
This exact hope is like, okay, so this is something I need to go back and fact check, but I swear in our Frozen 2 movie review, we were talking about the scene where Olaf like reenacts all of the events of Frozen 1.
Yeah.
And in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I know that we were like, you want to know what would be brilliant, Disney, in case you're listening, is if you go and reenact every Disney movie a la, you know, Olaf in this exact scene.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the, and the parents are dead, you know, like,
yeah.
And
what?
Sure enough, like they did that
it.
Thing. And I'm like, I mean, to be fair, it's not like the Disney company was unaware of this very clever idea that they came up with. And it's not like they were like, oh yeah, these people on the internet said to do it or something like that. But I'm like, all I want to know is whether or not I said it. It's like, cause you're exactly right. So once again, it's like, did you read the room correctly? Did you spot the thing that they did?
Right.
Now on Disney Plus, you can watch like every like Disney movie in like 2.5 minutes, like Olaf will like recount the tale,
yeah,
of this, yeah, that or the other.
But then the other thing you have to wonder is like, you know, or is it the case that we happen to get swept up in like a certain like hidden wave of like pin mania?
Oh, right, know? right. Yes. Are right, we just like, caught in the undertow?
Are we
ourselves?
Caught in the undertow? Because like it, you know, we didn't seek out to, you know, collect the pins.
Right.
You know, like we had a few Pluto interactions and we wanted to get a Christmas ornament, and in the giant Christmas ornament store, they didn't have a single Pluto ornament, which I'm still baffled by.
Right.
But then we walked out and there was the pin trading store and it was like, oh, let's get a Pluto pin. And then I was like, what if we collect them? Then we have a way to interact with the pins that are everywhere.
Yes.
And now here we are years later, and it's one of my favorite things to do. And I'm like, was there something in the water? Or did they like, did all their pin marketing just like get you at the right time? Is it a wave, or is it just seem like a big deal to me because we're already in?
I know.
A lot of people were just like, sure, pin trading is coming back. Who cares? What? I guess I've seen the pins.
That's the thing. Yes. Cause it's like, you know, certainly you're not just like narrowing in on something small. Like when you go to like Disney World, there are huge walls of pins. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're like they are prominent. They are there, but it is also the type of thing where it's like, if you're not in on it, then, which for the, I would say for the most part, since I started going back as an adult, which I think was 2018, was like the first trip I went,
yeah,
since like 1999, Alice and I went down in the camper. Like since coming in 2018, it was only in the past like year or so that the pin stuff had really like caught us,
yeah,
to where we like understood this whole like subculture that's going on all
right.
the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is so much fun now.
Now it is so much fun. Yeah. So. There we go.
We got one transition for late in the episode.
Okay.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, Ben, I have a, what's that? Maybe sounds like a, maybe like more like a you theory.
Oh,
yeah, for you. Ready? This is called the Dorito theory.
I love it already.
You love it already. Okay. Yeah,
just like the occasional
I didn't
Dorito.
Come up with this. I just saw it on TikTok and it made me think of you. And it was posted by, I don't know if this is the originator of it or if she just heard it, but the account is Celeste Aria on TikTok. So shout out to her, and we'll put a link to the video on there. But And it's called the Dorito theory. And this is sort of, it's a confusing sounding thing. And I was like, is this a double negative? But I don't think it is.
Okay.
Anyway, it's the Dorito theory states that only experiences that aren't truly satisfying are maximally addictive. So does that make sense? Probably not at first glance.
Yes. I feel like it's like one of those things like where it's like, okay, let me chew on that for a second, like a Dorito, mm-hmm. and see what we come out with. So
yeah.
Only experiences that aren't truly satisfying. So this theory would suggest that eating a Dorito, as delicious as it is not truly satisfying,
right.
but therefore is addictive in its nature.
Right. Because it's not satisfying, it is able to be maximally addictive.
Okay. Okay. Right. I'm following.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're right. And it's basically talking about like snack food is like sort of Doritos are the example of this because the peak of the experience when you're eating a Dorito is while you are tasting it, but then nothing after. Like if you eat like a steak, for example, on the other hand, like the steak like tastes good in your mouth. And then after you've eaten it, you feel full. Like there's like a nice, like full sensation. You are satisfied by the steak.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
You will not be satisfied by the Dorito.
Okay. And this is like, you suppose that there's like, you know, a like nutritional value protein, you know, right, inside yeah. of the steak.
Right. Whereas there's no, the Dorito has nothing to really offer you except the taste of itself whilst it's in your mouth.
Yeah, this is interesting because it's like, yeah, I mean, like the flavor, the texture, the crunch.
Yes.
You know, it's all spectacular.
Yes.
But then like, you know, if you eat an entire bag of Doritos, you're not like, I feel better.
Right. Yeah. You're not like, okay, I'm pretty much set for the day now.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Okay. Okay.
But what I found interesting about this is that like, that all makes sense to me, but then it's like, it almost feels like counterintuitive because it feels like things that are truly satisfying would become the, like addictive things as well. Like why aren't you addicted to like eating steak? You
know, sure,
but
sure.
You will get addicted to eating Doritos.
Right. That's a good point. Like, yeah, you pop down on the couch at the end of the day, you're much more likely to go and grab a bag of chips to crunch on than you are to like go and scoop out an avocado and just eat an avocado.
Right.
Even though the avocado is probably
right.
much healthier.
But I think, so I was trying to like figure that part out. Cause it seems like, you know, like if you were like doing something satisfying would be addictive, but it is not because it is satisfying. Like it closes the circle.
I see. Like, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it's like, and I think that's basically it. It feels counterintuitive. But things that are addictive don't close the circle on being satisfied. They leave the door open, basically. So like if you need it, if you actually need it, like if you like the steak for in this example would be something that you need food and energy and protein and all of that. So if you need it, you can get enough of it.
Sure.
Like your body has a need for it, but there is a limit to what it needs. And once it has all it needs, then you're satisfied. But then if you don't need it, like you don't need the stuff in a Dorito, then you can't ever have enough of it because you don't need it to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. I'm following the logic here. And it's funny because like I had such a like, you know, addiction to Andy Capp's hot fries mm-hmm. that like they come in like the blue bag and there's like the guy
that,
like, with like the hat and he's like eating one on the bag itself. But I mean, this was one of those things like we're in college and I mean, it's like horrifying to like think back on it, but it's like I ate a whole bag of Andy Capp's hot fries probably every day.
Right.
You know, and it was like, what? It, like all the time. But I mean, it is like one of those things too, like where you're right. Like, you know, you would like it's and it's probably even like it wasn't that like I was like finishing. It was like, well, I opened the bag. I may as well like finish all of it. It would sort of be like the only thing that was ever stopping me from eating them was just the bag was now empty.
Right.
So it was like, well, that's the end of the bag.
That's
so
it.
There's that. But you're right. Like if it was a bigger bag, I probably would have just kept going.
Right.
Which is like, oh, gosh, man. Okay. But yeah, no, that's man. I can follow the logic. I can follow the logic. But it also, it's like now, as we're saying it, I'm like, now I really want to go eat something healthy.
Yeah, right. But so I think maybe the ultimate like take, because I was thinking about this. I feel like it feels weird. So I think like that sort of like addiction kind of like eating, or maybe addiction is the wrong word, but that sort of like endless eating. It's like that like the addiction and satisfaction are not the same, but like in the moment they feel the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the dopamine from eating the Dorito feels like you're being satisfied, but you're not. It's like a fake claim in your brain.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. Like, and I think this is probably like, you know, if you're scrolling, you know, it's probably the same thing. It's like you continuously like feed your brain something else cool, fun, interesting to look at, but it's not often that you walk away from having scrolled on your phone for a period of time and being like energized from it. But then like alternatively, like if you go out and like when I completed like my marathon, for example, I know that's a huge example, like contrary to something so small as just scrolling on your phone or whatever, but like that like ballooned me. It like gave me like confidence. It gave me strength. It gave me like a sense of satisfaction for like a long time after the fact, like days, weeks, month, you know, of time where I was like, I feel really good about myself for like achieving this level of like whatever. And so this, I always talk about this, but it's like when you're like, if you go, like when you haven't been exercising, cause like I took like a break myself from like, like I just started back like maybe like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But it's so strange because in the period of time that I was taking a break from it, I was like, how did I ever have energy to go and like do workouts in addition to everything else that I'm doing all the time? I'm exhausted. And then it's strange because like you get back to the gym and you're sort of like, you come home from work and you're like, okay, I got like an extra like pep in my step. And it's like, well, that's counterintuitive. Like you expended energy, but now you have more available. Like even if I know it can be true, it doesn't motivate me when I'm like in the interim.
Yeah. That, you know? I mean, running is something that I was also thinking about like this. Cause like, you know, you can go out and if you finish like a big run, it can feel very satisfying, but then it's not like, you know, you, like you said, you finished the marathon, but it's not like you went and kept running.
True. Also, you know? True. Yes.
Like you just like stopped. It's not like, oh my God, this is the best thing in the world. I need to do it more. It was like, cause you felt satisfied.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so, like, you know, it's like, why don't be, I mean, which is not to say that I will say that like, I think you can like get to that point. Cause like some people do get like addicted to running and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. That can happen. It's not like impossible or anything, but it's like, it's, I don't know. I just thought that was another interesting example of it.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Cause I mean, cause that's exactly it. You know, you go out and like, I mean, I've even had this have like periods. So even in my break there from exercising, I think there was like one Sunday where I texted brother-in-law Mike and was like, you want to go for a run this morning? He was like, yeah, let's do it. So we went and ran like 4 miles and it was like for the rest of the day, I was like, yeah, I ran 4 miles this morning. Yeah, like that was awesome. But like in the same way, like, you know, you eat your single Dorito, what is stopping you from eating the second, third, fourth, the bag, whatever, you know, like thereafter? Nothing. Like, and you know, so it's sort of like you're going to keep going and like, it's not going to take energy for you to summon the will to keep going. But like, then once you're done, you're not like stoked, like that you just finished a bag of Doritos or anything. Yeah,
probably the opposite.
Maybe the opposite. Yeah. But like that is so weird because like, yeah, I finished my run that day. I was so jazzed. I was so proud of myself. I was like, this is so great. Like, look at us go. Like, you know, let's get stuff done. Let's go to the store. Let's run errands. Like, you know, whatever. But then like the next weekend rolled around and it was sort of like, should we go do it again? I was like, ah,
I don't think so.
It was a lot of work.
Right.
You know, and it's like, why?
Why? Like the effects were so positive.
The effects were so positive. Like, look at the writing on the wall, man. Right. Like, you know, but sometimes I think that this will happen to me too. Like where if like, it can be like the pendulum effect. I think it's sort of like you go and you do something like good. And then you're sort of like, well, that sort of carved some room for me to do something like on the other end of the pendulum swing.
Right.
Now I did a healthy. So now I can do an unhealthy. And
like, oh, that sort of bargaining is like so bad.
I know. But like, you know, it's also like somewhat inevitable, or it can be. Like I can find myself like falling into that trap on occasion, so it's like you gotta like really have like the awareness about it going into it to avoid that exact thing. But sometimes that's been like the even like the fear for me, like, you know, because I'm coming up on 2 full years off of like socials, and it's kind of been like one of those things where, you know, you're like, you know what, I've been offered for 2 years. It's like, what would happen now if I like pulled it back up? Would I immediately get sucked back in the vortex and be like, dude, you haven't been on it for 2 years, enjoy yourself.
Right.
You know what? Like, go scroll. Spend a day doing it.
Right. Yeah. Like,
Like I worry that it's almost like I built up too much potential energy on one side that like now if I like re-entered the fray, I'd be like, whoo, now right. It's got to come
right.
Back
like you'd get on for like a day and then you'd be like, you know what? I did it for a day and it wasn't that bad. I can probably just do it again.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, well, you know, and now you're doing it all night. You
know? I know. Yeah. So that's been one of those where I'm like, man, it's probably just better to just leave it where it was. Yeah, it'll be fine. Yep. It'll be fine. Yep. There you go. Okay. Well, no, I like it though. The Dorito theory.
There you go.
Yeah. Shout out again to Celeste Aria for bringing that for sharing it. Yeah. Because I'm sure that there's like a much deeper psychological phenomenon attached to all this type of stuff that people are like, yeah, no, it's a thing, but like let's extrapolate it beyond like a bag of Doritos and look at it, you know, from like a bigger.
Make sure you go comment on her TikTok, just like pop pop
pop pop
pop pop. She'll be like, what's going on? What's going on?
What's up with all the pop pops?
What's up with the pop pops? Yeah.
I gotta find the source of it.
Yeah.
And so, now maybe what will eventually happen is that she'll like end up finding this particular episode and like be like listening to like all of our Hot Wheels conversations. She's like, I still don't understand what this has to do with me. It's like I'm 47 minutes in and they haven't said anything about this thing or whatever. It's like, oh, there it is, right there. We tucked it in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now you're here. Now you're listening. What up?
Exactly. Hey, thanks for listening, Celeste.
Celeste, yeah.
If that is your real name.
It could be. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Otherwise, guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. We super appreciate it. I feel like it was a fun one. Trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Our like
Hot Wheels.
Let's race. Yeah, is that how the song goes?
That's how the song goes. Yeah, Hot Wheels, let's race.
Nice. Okay, I'm gonna have to go listen to this.
Yeah, it's a bop.
I'm sure it is. Fall Out Boy, way to do it.
I know. Yay, Fall Out Boy.
I wonder what that day is like for them. You know, if like when they call, they're like, because inevitably
I think they're like producers on the show, so I think they must, which makes me even more excited. I'm like, are they in Hot Wheels?
I know. Yeah, like that's exactly it. Yeah, it's like, you know, if you're, because that's the thing. It's like everybody who's like out there in the world like doing like big things. It's like they were children once. They played with the same toys as you.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like they probably share the same nostalgia to the same thing that you did. And it's like, wow, what an interesting way to like chase that as an adult, as like, you know, such a well-known group.
I know, right? And it just feels like I almost can't believe it took this long for a show like this to exist, because it's like it feels so right. It feels so ready for the taking. It's like, it's there. There's so many fun cars. They have such fun personalities.
So like, are the cars themselves the personality or the drivers?
The drivers.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's like always something that's felt so absent from Hot Wheels is the idea of a driver. At all.
I know. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I think that's always been like the problem. It's like, how do we like the product is the cars, but then like, who are the drivers going to be? And so it's basically just like, it's six kids. They're at they're at racing camp or something.
Okay.
And so like their little counselor lady will have some new challenge for them, or, you know, a giant octopus will be attacking the city, you know, regular camp stuff.
Yeah. Normal stuff. Yeah.
Regular
things. We've all been there
and they'll have to go save the day. And their cars have like, you know, power ups per whatever the car is, whether it's like a, you know, a garbage truck that has like a vortex to suck up garbage in the back, or, you know, a shark that can like chomp through stuff.
Yay.
Yeah.
Like octopuses.
Yes, nice. Exactly. Just gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantastic. Very super cool. Fun show.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. If it's got the J stamp of approval, you know, that's, I feel like that's a tall order.
Yeah, my kids are just loving it. They're just like, we watch Hot Wheels. I'm like, I guess so. You guys are having so much fun playing with the real toy. I don't have to buy anything either, because I have so many.
We have so many Hot Wheels.
So many Hot Wheels.
This is working out great.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, guys. But yeah, as ever, if you have any feedback on the show, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, we would super appreciate it. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link in all of the show notes or the description down below. Mm-hmm. All the spots, everywhere you can always find it.
Yeah,
be sure to go and check it out. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations.
Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.